Everything I've heard about Austin seems like it's a pretty cool place to be.
Yeah, except all the Democrats.
Well, I'll bet by the time I get to Tulsa, and she'll be pulling on them tight blue jeans, and she'll go down to Cowboys and buy herself a cold one. And on a Friday night in Dallas, she's a cowboy's dream. Well, something tells me she'll sit out the first one. And then they'll play George Strait and she'll be gone. Cause heaven knows that girl was born to two-step. And Texas women don't stay lonely long. And it's a fact.
It's Thursday, March 4th, 2021. Episode 042. You are about to go down the rabbit hole with Joe and Brian. I'm Brian. With me, as always, hunkered down in an undisclosed location in the belly of the beast, Washington, D.C. My good friend Joe. Joe, how you doing?
I'm well. And yourself? I'm good.
I'm doing good. I'm doing pretty good, man.
Yeah, I didn't realize that I was in the belly of the beast.
You are in the belly of the beast.
Hmm.
You're my inside man.
Cool, I'm the inside guy.
When the ish goes down, you're always there. It's like a, you know, it's like national news, but it's just like something that you've seen on your way to work. That's how it is. You're my man. Your boots on the ground. You're just there. Washington D.C.
D.C. is an awesome town. Yeah, it is. It's not New York, but it's an awesome town. There's a little bit of everything here.
Okay, cool.
There's nothing that's not here.
I believe it. I got to be honest, man. From everything I've heard from mass media and whatnot about DC, I'm terrified. I would.
What have you heard?
Well, you know what? I'll be honest. When I say mass media, I'm basically was thinking of early on Dave Chappelle stand-up comedy.
Well, have you heard his latest stand-up about Washington, D.C.? He doesn't even recognize the place.
I did hear that, yes. That's true. So, I just remember the baby in the ghetto slinging crack, you know. But anyway.
Yeah, he was telling – actually, I saw that bit maybe yesterday.
Oh, really?
Cool, yeah, cool. I got a lot of Dave Chappelle stuff floating around in my feed. That's why I was able to send you that redemption stuff because
yeah, well, Dave Chappelle's awesome. I'll be honest. I don't agree with. I mean, I don't. And you should never 100% agree with someone, but I don't 100% agree with everything that he says. But I'd say about 75-85% of the stuff he talks about is just, I think, is spot on and absolutely hilarious. So,
well, I mean,
anyone listening who didn't know, I mean, I had never heard of it, but Dave Chappelle does this. He does this, I don't know, 15-20 minute bit called Redemption, I think, but it's essentially a follow up to, like, he earlier on he did a bit where he was basically, he explained what happened with Comedy Central.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked people
to
not watch Chappelle's show because they didn't pay him appropriately for the show.
Yeah, they're eating off his name.
Right. And he asked people to not watch the show, to boycott the show.
You know what I want to figure out, man? How do I get Dave Chappelle cool? Who else is Dave Chappelle cool?
Oh, he's ooh.
Who else? Yeah, you know what? You know this show I made 10 years ago that's still hilarious? Don't watch it, and then actually have people not watch it.
Dave Chappelle, cool. That's a great term right there. And I can't think right now. I can't think of anyone who is Dave Chappelle.
We'll have to get on the job and at least figure out one other person who's Dave Chappelle cool. There's got
to
be,
or at least pay attention to it.
Fair enough. Yeah.
But anyway, this most recent stand up, and he doesn't even really tell jokes. That's how amazing and incredible Dave Chappelle is that he can just get up there and talk and not tell jokes, and people are just captivated and love it. And
he's still funny.
And he's hilarious, but apparently, according to this redemption thing, it worked. Comedy Central caved; they paid him what they owed him, and he's essentially was giving people permission to watch the Chappelle Show. So, and you should, because that is, you'll find some of, now if you're easily super sensitive to funny things, you may want to skip it. But if you're just all about the comedy and you have a sense of humor, definitely check out the Chappelle Show. It's great.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there probably isn't anyone that's old enough to be listening to this podcast who hasn't. I mean, yeah.
Well, that's true. But I mean, I'm telling you, man, he done some skits on the Chappelle Show that would get people canceled. I mean, he is one of those, and I think he might have even talked about this, but he's uncancelable. Actually, that's how cool he is.
Actually, it's funny you should say that, because I sent you that video a couple weeks ago about what gets people and things canceled, who actually does the canceling. That might be something interesting to talk about a little bit later.
It might be. Yeah, I just don't like that dude that delivered the message. He was partially right, but I think he missed some other points. But yeah, we can definitely talk about it, because I have some opinions. So
yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I'm looking. I've been actively looking for property values in Texas recently.
Why Texas?
Well, Texas actually, they're like the first. I think they're the first state. I think maybe Mississippi followed, but they were the first state to open up.
I thought Georgia was the first state to open up.
I'd have to double check that, but I don't know anything about Georgia, but I know that Texas is open, or they'll at least at March 10th, I think they'll be open.
Yeah, I know they were the first to get rid of pretty much, like, say we're going to get rid of the mask and stuff like that, and basically just throw the doors open again.
The thing is they basically said that they're not going to demand that their citizens do something. They're going to trust that they have that they're responsible enough to make the right decisions. And so
that's the first mistake.
I don't think so. I think that's the way it should be. Yeah. People are responsible enough to make their own decisions. There's going to be there's a ton, despite it being a red state, there's a shit ton of Democrats in Texas.
Well, actually, yeah, Texas is the state that they think might be turning blue inside the next election cycle or two.
We've heard that for the last three election cycles. So,
well, I haven't heard that, but
I've heard that. They keep talking about it being a purple state. It's purple. It's purple. It's purple. It's on the verge of flipping. But it never comes close. But
yeah, I mean.
But that said, regardless, there's a lot of Democrats, especially in the Austin area.
Well, that's where they all are. They're in Dallas.
And my company actually just opened up an office in Austin. I could probably move to, like, legitimately move to Austin with the blessing of my company if I was.
Yeah. Everything I've heard about Austin seems like it's a pretty cool place to be.
Yeah, except all the Democrats.
But, actually, places where Democrats are is typically where people want to be.
Well, until they end up like Chicago or Minnesota. Minnesota.
I don't think Democrats are flocking to Minnesota.
No, they already
or Chicago.
They already own Chicago and Minnesota. That's my point. They moved the whatever city when liberal policies get implemented, the place goes to shit. I'm not prepared to debate this or anything, but you know, the No Agenda show, which I listen to, Adam Curry lives in Austin, and he's there, and he sees, you know, he sees what it's like to live in a city that's run by Democrats. And
hey, can you name a city that's run by Republicans?
Not off the top of my head, but yeah. I'm sure that I could. But anyway, I didn't want to get hung up there. But I did. You know what? When it comes to the COVID thing, I had an idea, and it's something that I wanted to ask. I wanted to ask you: is there a time limit that? I mean, you're pretty. You seem to be pretty patient and pretty lenient about these restrictions. Is there a time limit? I mean, is there a point where, if we get to, I mean, because it's not even COVID now. It's like variant strains or mutant strains, and there's always like there's just been all these different new things that's come out. I mean, is there a point where you're going to be like, I've had enough. This is okay. This is too much. Giving my freedom back, or I mean, are you ready? Are you prepared to go in perpetuity with these lockdowns? What's your feelings on it?
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be a, you know, lockdowns in perpetuity, but you know, I think there's a growing sense that this thing needs to be over sooner than later, almost so, you know, by any means necessary.
So, what do you think about all these things that come out, like variants and? And mutants are the same as variants, but it's just a more descriptive term that really puts these ideas in people's heads. A mutant strain of COVID.
To me, that's just a fact of biology. If you know, if you've got something out there and it's you know, had an opportunity to interact and be around other stuff, it's going to change in some way, shape, or form. You shouldn't. No one should have expected this thing to just stay static. That would have been.
What I think is the coolest thing is how, you know, this apparently the COVID, when there's like, you know, the droplets and whatever, these COVID droplets are like able to like expertly maneuver these, you know, crazy masks and whatnot and escape and find their way into other unsuspecting victims and things like that.
Sorry, what are you talking about?
When you listen to people, when you listen to like Fauci and people talk about masks and COVID and everything, the way they describe it, you would think that there's something special about this COVID that that they're able to, you know, that they're, you know, you have to have two or three masks because they're smart enough to evade one mask. I mean, I'm just repeating what basically Fauci and his lackeys are telling us. So, all right, here I go. I know I'm harping on a topic that I've already lost. I know,
but you're harping on a topic that you've already
But I want to give you a little I want to give you a little trivia on our way out of this. Do you know what pandemic, epidemic, whatever you want to call it, that Fauci made his bones on?
Fauci? Was it the thing? Let me think. I don't know, really. Tell me.
It was during the 80s.
The 80s? Mm-hmm. AIDS?
That's where he made his bones. AIDS, baby.
Yeah. All right.
He done a great job.
That's the only... Well, that's the only outbreak of something huge I can think of. Well, I think there was a Legionnaires' disease outbreak in the 80s that scared a bunch of folks. And then there are a couple outbreaks of, what's the stuff called again? Dengue and what's that one from Africa that everyone, you know, eat your insides out? Ebola.
Ebola, baby. That's the that's the scary monster.
Now, if COVID turned out to be like Ebola, would you be like, would you still have the?
No, like I said, if people were actually dropping, that I seen were actually dropping dead, you know, if one third of Hollywood had died from COVID, I'd be like, all right, this is something to be concerned about. But not only are they not dropping dead, they're, you know, they seem to be living by different rules. And so, no, if people were dying in mass, if Tom Cruise, Brad Pitt, and Alyssa Milano, you know, they died because some disease ate them from the inside out, I'd be like, holy shit, I'm never leaving my fucking house, man.
Okay, so what if Tom Cruise, Brad Pitt, and What's-Her-Face survived, but their stunt doubles died? Would you be like, oh, this is real? I mean, does it happen to the A-listers, man? For you to take it serious?
That's hilarious. Yeah. If their stunt doubles died from being eaten from the inside out by some disease, then yeah, I take it seriously.
They would qualify too?
That was hilarious. Yeah.
Okay.
Kudos to you, man.
But it dawned on me that we skipped something.
Well, no, we didn't skip it. I was just prolonging. I was just waiting until we get here. But you know what?
Motherfucker. Give me two fingers of Southern Comfort.
Joe, what did the bartender bring you tonight?
I am having... Yeah, I'm so basic. I'm having the rum and coke. Next week, if I show up with a rum and coke, tell me to get another drink.
No. Look, I am all about the basics. The simple. You know what my favorite pizza is? Cheese.
Pepperoni?
Cheese.
Really?
I mean, I'll put some pepperoni on it, but if a cheese pepperoni tastes good, then that pizza maker knows what he's doing.
My thing is like,
I prefer pepperoni, cheese, and mushroom, but I'll order a cheese pizza, and if that cheese pizza is good, I know that anything that I get from this pizzeria will be good. So
it, to me, it's not a pizza until there's pepperoni on it.
Okay.
It's cheese toast before you put pepperoni.
Kind of, maybe. I don't know. Heads up, this weekend I'm going to make a cauliflower crust pizza. So
really, let me know how that turns out.
Yeah, you know what? I've been people, but it's mainly Mike makes fun of me for my keto diet. But
well, I mean, you know what? Mike is onto something.
Well, but the thing to keep in mind is keto is all about like the proteins and the fat and stuff. It's not really about. I mean, keto is fine with you eating meat and steak and it's fine with you eating cheese and the keto thing is all about, you know, eating the right amounts and the right types of fats for energy.
Speaking of keto, how do you feel?
Feeling good, man. Yeah, I'm feeling good. I was thinking about this before we started recording. I was looking at myself in the mirror in the restroom, and it's hard for me to say, but I will say. Typically, in the past, when I've lost weight, it always starts in my face,
mm-hmm.
and it seems to kind of just move down. And so I was looking at myself honestly, trying to look at myself honestly in the mirror before we started recording. And I have cheekbones. I can see my cheekbones kind of poking through. Mm-hmm. I've never had a super strong jawline, but I do have a jawline, and I do my shoulders, like my neck and shoulders are showing a little bit of definition.
All right. So you're becoming chiseled.
Well, no. I wouldn't say chiseled, but
is it becoming?
Maybe. I need to start doing more, and I'm waiting for my, like, if I could start seeing my collarbone, that would make me happy. I'm not there yet. My collarbone is still buried under a nice layer of protective fat, I guess. But no, overall, I'm happy. You know, I mean, it's not, and it is. I don't even know how to say it. I mean, I really do feel like that the way that I eat now is just the way that I eat. It's not really a diet. It's just, I think that if I was to eat more than a meal a day, that I would feel sick. It would be like too much. It would be too much for me.
That's not good, man. Or maybe it is, actually.
Well, it's good in that I'm content. I'm satisfied with one meal a day. Lately, like this week, what I've been doing is I've been having I'll have a couple cups of coffee in the morning, which I don't know is good or not. But around noon, between noon and one, I'll have like a snack. I'll have some mozzarella cheese sticks and maybe a couple pieces of pepperoni.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to tide me over. And then around 2:30 to 3, I'll eat something more substantive. But that's about it, man. I don't need to eat a whole lot more than that. I'm pretty good with like one meal a day.
So like, have you, like, I mean, yeah. Well, I mean, hey, I mean, I'm happy for you because when we started this year off, you sounded the alarm, and so
it was, and that wasn't bullshit either. I had just come through, you know, the Christmas. I really kind of just threw caution to the wind during Christmas and even New Year's, and there was I can't remember it precisely, but I know that there was just a moment where, and I don't remember what it was that prompted this, but I'm just laying there in bed and I'm just like, Brian, things got to change, man, because you're like on the verge. I mean, it's either you change things or you get serious about the whole giving up my chosen lifestyle. You know,
you mean giving up being awesome?
Well, I mean, I'm sure that I would end up being awesome in a different way, but you know, sell the M2, buy a van. Maybe move into a place, you know,
let's not give voice to the unthinkable.
Well, yeah, for sure, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the life that I know and love. It would have meant but I was at the point where I was like, you know, this is it, man. It's like either continue with this life that you're accustomed to and that you like, or face the alternative. And it just kind of like, I can't remember if anything in particular happened to scare me like that, but you know, it's just, mainly it was, and for people not familiar who have maybe new listeners or maybe, I don't know, but I'm in a wheelchair. And so, you know, I'm sure it was getting in and out of bed was difficult. It was just hard on me. In and out of the shower, things like that, in and out of the car is just super hard. And I just, I was at this point where I was just like, either make a change or just get accustomed to changing your lifestyle. So, yeah, beginning of the year, I cut out all the bad stuff, and it's crazy, you know, your body, when you start when you start treating your body right, your body responds favorably. So that's kind of like what I'm talking about now.
Speaking of treating your body right, what are you drinking?
What's that?
What are you drinking?
Yeah, man. The bartender brought me. I'm drinking a... Oh, my God. I'm drinking a Tito's... I'm drinking a White Claw. A hard seltzer. I hate to say it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But I spiked it with... two or three shots of Tito's, so...
Yeah, no level of spiking's gonna, recapture your manliness, man.
No, but it will fuck you up. Tito's don't care about what you put him in. Tito's has one goal, and that's to mess with you, man.
Yeah, come to break and destroy.
Yeah. Now I had my brother bring me some White Claw because I had read, it's like 100 calories a can and it's like two carbs, but it just tastes, the only thing that I'm really just kind of choking this down. The black cherry White Claw is palatable, but nothing else has been very. I mean, it just doesn't taste good.
Sorry, you might need to clarify for everybody what exactly is White Claw.
Oh yeah, White Claw is like this low carb, low calorie. They call it a hard seltzer. It's 100 calories a can. 2 grams of carbs, but the thing is really, and I think this is what I'm going to go with from now on is, you can get like Miller Lite, and I think Miller Lite is like 85 calories a bottle and three grams of carbs.
Yeah, you made reference to it last.
And it at least tastes like a light beer. I mean, sure, it's not a replacement for a good old German lager or anything, but it does taste like beer, and certainly tastes a lot better than this. So I may in the future just drink. I just may get Miller Lite because, and it's weird, dude. I'm finding that I just don't drink a lot, man, and I don't know. I don't know if it's just because I'm 48, and I've been drinking a lot in the last 10 to 15 years, and I'm just done. I don't know, but...
Do you think that might have something to do with it?
I don't know. But maybe it's just this diet. I'm finding myself, I'm more attracted to waking up feeling good than I am going to sleep
really bad.
Yeah,
I think that might
it has a big thing. I like waking up at like this weekend. In the past I would have woken up at 9, but then I went back to sleep and got out of bed at 1. This Saturday, I'll probably wake up around 9, and I'll probably get out of bed and do something productive. It's just how alcohol. I guess it's how alcohol affects me, and I am. I guess I'm to that. I mean, I hate to talk like that old guy, but I feel like that it's. I look more forward to waking up early, feeling good, then not. So.
Says Fuddy Duddy, Old Man Newman.
That's right, man. Fuddy Duddy, Old Man Newman. So
what's on tap today?
Well, several things. I didn't touch base with you in the pre-show, but Do you want us to talk about the we've been kicking around the idea of changing the show title for search engine optimization reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we should talk about that, let people know, or
I think we probably we're not totally sure how we want to what's going to work for us yet, right?
We're not sure. For anyone listening, I jotted these down in our chats, but these are three titles that we've kicked around. We're open to others. If somebody wants to chime in, please let us know. And the whole impetus behind this is, if you go to your favorite podcast app or whatever, and you search, like if I was to tell someone, hey, I have a podcast, it's called Down the Rabbit Hole with Joe and Brian. That person, it's most likely that person's going to search. They're going to hear that, and they're going to say, you know,
let me look it up.
Rabbit Hole or Down the Rabbit Hole. They're not going to put in the exact title. So if you put, and so if you go to your preferred podcast app and you type in Rabbit Hole, there is a legitimate, like literally, there's a shit ton of podcasts with Rabbit Hole in the title, or Rabbit Hole being the title. And so what Joe and I want to do is we want to make ourselves more, obviously more distinct. We want us to stand out more. And so we've been kicking around the idea of changing the title of the show. The show wouldn't change, there's just a title. But here's three ideas that we have so far. And none of these are even nowhere near being set in stone. These are just ideas that we were kicking around. Idea number one, drinks. This is my idea. Drinks with Joe and Brian, with a subtitle of Solving the World's Problems One Drink at a Time. We have a title of Booze, Bros, and Politics. And we have Thursday Happy Hour with Joe and Brian. So those really are our only ideas right now. If anyone listening has other ideas, something that they think would be catchy or
fits us.
Yeah, or fits us. Please, please let us know. In the future, I'm going to, right now, letting us know would be, if you know me or you know Joe, you can know how to contact us, but going, you know what, I think maybe after this show, I will set up an email address called, I want to call it, I think maybe podcast@joehigh.com. And you can send email to that.
Oh yeah, then we can interact with our millions of adoring fans.
Exactly.
Good call, so, man.
I'll set that up and make sure that both Joe and I get emails that go to that address. So anyway, that's the only like other housekeeping that I wanted to get out of the way. Now this part of the show, we talk about, this show was kind of built, not built on the premise of, but we created a show around the same time that, George Floyd was, I'll say it, murdered.
Murdered.
Ahmaud Arbery, murdered.
Murdered.
Casey Gibson.
Who's still pretending like, you know, it's not obvious that George Floyd and Arbery were murdered? Who's still saying, you know, referring to Chauvin as a suspect? Or
I'd say they got to be people with another agenda. I honestly, look, you know me, and we've disagreed about things vehemently.
vehemently.
Yeah. So you know that, you know, if anyone that you know was going to argue about or disagree with Floyd or Ahmaud Arbery, it would be me. But I firmly stand behind the fact that both George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery were just, if not first degree murder, they were definitely I shouldn't even have said that because I'm not positive off the top of my head what constitutes first degree, but they were murdered, killed, murdered.
It was an unlawful slaying.
For bullshit reasons, yeah, it was an unlawful slaying for sure. Like I've said in the past, George Floyd, I believe, should have been handled as a medical emergency, not a criminal emergency, I guess.
Lock him up in a knee on the neck emergency.
Right. And Ahmaud Arbery, you know, when the Ahmaud Arbery thing happened, there was the, and Joe called this, he knew that this was going to happen. He would be slandered and his reputation and his family's reputation drug through the mud. That said, I don't care whether he was jogging through that neighborhood, and I don't care if he went into a construction site, and I don't care. It just doesn't fucking matter.
Are you sure, man?
No, I'm positive. It doesn't matter. Even if he did all the bad things that people are saying that he did, is that good enough reason for two civilians to kill him? Absolutely not. So the father and son and the dipshit camera guy,
Roddy Bryan.
They need to face the full consequences of the law. And George Floyd, like I said, he was on something. It was obvious, and everyone, he should have been treated as such. Because I was joking, but I was serious with Joe before the show. I mean, he's Jesus Christ. I've been under the influence of some alcohol, and you just can't deal with or talk to people who are under that kind of influence, man.
You can't expect the same reaction.
I'm glad that, you know, Joe would be like, you know, he could have been like, stay here, don't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I went and done the opposite of what he said, and I decided to go somewhere like I did, I'm glad he didn't shoot me.
Oh, you're referring to that thing that one time.
Yeah, fuck it, I'll say it. We went to this Halloween party, and you may have heard, if you listen to every episode, which if you have, God bless you. But yeah, we went to this Halloween party, man, and I just I think I probably went through a bottle of
that rum, Captain Morgan.
Captain Morgan's, yeah. I went through a bottle of Captain Morgan's and maybe more, and I don't know, but I don't know. We ended up coming. We left Joe's car at the party, and we drove back to Joe's house, and I was just like, I'm going to sleep.
No, we left my car at the party, and right. I drove your car back to my place.
Yeah. You did. You drove us back to your place, and then you went to bed, and I woke up. I don't know when I woke up, but I hopped over into the driver's seat and went home. And you called me up. It's like, motherfucker, where are you?
It's like, yes, I don't think I said that, did I?
I don't remember, but you. I know that you weren't happy. You weren't happy. I could tell that you weren't happy. That's like the only time I can think of where I could tell that you were not happy with me. So I hopped my little hungover ass back in the car, drove to Cincinnati, and I picked you up, took you to your car. It's all good. We're all good now. But that was ridiculous. But my entire point of that was, you can't reason with someone who is quote unquote fucked up.
Try as you might.
And it's obvious that George Floyd, right or wrong, he was messed up. He was on something, and he should have been treated as such. It should have been a medical emergency, not a police emergency, and he should be alive today. But so though, yeah, those are my takes on that. And they haven't, I don't think they've changed since we started this, have they?
No, they haven't.
They may have evolved a little bit, but my overall, my overall thing is Ahmaud Arbery. It was a murder, and George Floyd. I don't know if it wasn't a murder. It was a.
It was a murder.
It was a murder.
Yeah. Sometimes people want to overthink the simple stuff.
There you go. Yeah. You don't want to overthink. You don't want to overthink things. So,
speaking of overthinking, what do we have on book burning?
Book burning. Well, this is crazy, man. Because so when I say to you book burning, what do you think about?
Yeah, I think of like a Nazi era, folks standing around with the Heil sign and a large bonfire of books being thrown.
Okay, that's interesting, because I think we must have had like teachers of the same era, maybe. because those are the images. I can remember being in grade school, and I can remember hearing about Nazi book burning, and at the time I can remember the teachers were so invested in it that they made sure that they got the point across to us that it was a bad thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, those are my images. Those are almost word for word, those are my images of book burning as well. So I labeled this section book burning. I don't know if it's accurate or not, but the title of the article, six doctors. Oh, I got to say this, man. I have this. You'll laugh because you have it too. I have this app that I use every day that when you launch it, it gives you like a little known fact that you may not have known. It says like, did you know? And then it gives you a fact.
Yeah, that's your app.
It is my app. But one of those facts is, did you know that? And I think that Dr. Seuss, I think it's like, accurately is pronounced Seuss is pronounced like choice, so like the correct pronunciation, I think, is supposed to be Dr. Seuss, but that's beside the point. It's Dr.
Yeah,
Seuss.
You know what, that's one of those accidents of history where that's probably a good thing.
Yeah. So anyway, six Dr. Seuss books, including And to Think I Saw It on Mulberry Street and If I Ran the Zoo, will stop being published because of racist and insensitive imagery. The business that preserves and protects the author's legacy said Tuesday. These books portray people in ways that are hurtful and wrong, Dr. Seuss Enterprises told the Associated Press in a statement that coincided with the late author and illustrator's birthday. Ceasing sales of these books is only part of our commitment and our broader plan to ensure Dr. Seuss Enterprises catalog represents and supports all communities and families, it said. The other books affected are McElligot's Pool, On Beyond Zebra, Scrambled Egg Super, and The Cat's Quizzer. The decision to cease publication and sales of the books was made last year after months of discussion. The company, which was founded by Seuss's family, told me.
What do you think about that?
At the end of the day, we're talking about, you know, a poorly written and poorly drawn kids book, so I really don't give a shit.
Sorry. What do you really think about Dr. Seuss?
I'll be honest. I never had I know that other children or other people have different experiences, but I never had a Dr. Seuss book. I did see the, I can think of like maybe, I guess really the Green Eggs and Ham are the only Dr. Seuss story I can think of. And I seen a cartoon of it. But my mom and dad never bought me a Dr. Seuss book. I never owned a Dr. Seuss book. So
you're like, oh, yeah.
I ultimately don't care. However, for the purposes of this conversation, my thoughts on banning books, I gotta say that I don't agree with.
Now, this isn't exactly the same as banning the book. Well, this is the publisher of the book deciding to no longer publish it. That's not the same as banning it.
Okay. It's not banning it, but the reasons
they're no longer circulating it.
The reasons that the publisher decided to stop publishing it would be the same reasons that it would have been burned. It's all, and again, I hate to say it, but it all goes back.
I don't think there's ever been a situation where, you know, they were burning books because they were racially insensitive. I don't buy that.
I don't mean racially insensitive. I mean.
Unauthorized thought.
They go against wrong think.
Yeah, that we can agree on.
Yeah. I mean, I don't care. We're not, you know, if these books are never published, I've never even heard of these books. So.
Me neither. In fact, it was one of the things where, like, I'm like, yeah, like the Super Green, scrambled egg super. Yeah, none of these books have been books I've heard of.
Yeah, I've never heard of any of these books, and I tried to find pictures of these offending images, but I couldn't find those.
Well, they must have been really offensive if you can't find them at all.
Yeah. or I would, as I would more likely, I'm more inclined to think, is our digital overlords have deemed that we don't need to see these images, and they've decided for us.
Well, you don't. I mean, you got to watch those digital overlords.
Absolutely. But you know what? I mean, I guess really, it's. I don't agree with the overall premise of getting rid of books that people disagree with. But you know what? This isn't going to bother me. You can ban Mark Twain books. I don't care. It's. In the big scheme of things, it's not that important. But I think I'm glad we talked about it. It's at least important to put it out there. But I don't know. I don't agree with the reasons, but at the same time, I'm not going to lose sleep over it either. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can't wait to go to my next good old fashioned book burning.
Yeah. And again, seriously, the names of these, if I can think of Dr. Seuss books, Green Eggs and Ham is like the only thing I can think of, man.
What about, Dr. Seuss, Grinch Who Stole Christmas? He's Seuss.
Oh, that was Dr. Seuss. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. There we go. The Green Eggs and Ham and the Grinch That Stole Christmas. Those are the two Dr. Seuss stories that I can think of.
Actually, one other that I can think of off the top of my head is All the Places You'll Go.
Never heard of it.
I think I got that book for a graduation gift in high school.
Okay. Did you get anything meaningful out of it?
I'm sure I did. I can't think of what it was right now, but
interesting. So, yeah, I don't know. I do know that the people who own Dr. Seuss books are like making a mint off of them on eBay. I heard that they're selling Dr. Seuss books for like $500 a pop.
But who says, you know what? There's a kid's book with a bunch of racist stuff in it. Let me go drop $500 on that book. Is that the thought process?
I don't know. No, I think it's more people just want to own something that
is going to be rare.
Yeah, that's going to be rare. I mean, I want to see the images. I want to see what was so horrible in. And to think I saw it on Mulberry Street. I want to know what these images are that are so bad.
Well, I'm going to look that up. Racist images on.
Good luck, man. Good luck.
I mean, when you tried, did you seriously try, or was it like a half-hearted try?
No, I tried. All I can find is a picture of the book. I can't find any pictures of illustrations in the book that were considered racist.
I saw it on Mulberry Street.
That's what they say is. And okay, here it is. Quote: "And to think that I saw it on Mulberry Street." Unquote.
All right, I found a few images, and there's some pictures of Chinese people looking stereotypically Chinese.
Okay.
With the hat and the chopsticks.
Oh, okay. So it's like 95% of all Chinese restaurant signs in America.
It's funny you should say that.
I don't know. Okay, fine. That's fine, I guess. I should have guessed that when they talked about racist that it would be something other than...
Yeah, I never remember seeing black people in Dr. Seuss.
American racism.
I've never seen any black people in Dr. Seuss books, and I think about it. They may be in there. I just wouldn't know where.
I don't know. I don't know that I've ever even looked at a Dr. Seuss book. Like I said, I've watched.
How did you cartoon. Make it through childhood?
Mom, I gotta ask mom. Yeah. Dad. Well, I can't ask dad, but I'll ask mom. Why didn't you ever buy me a Dr. Seuss book, mom?
Yeah, I mean, you might want to keep that out of the hat because they might just carry her away for child abuse. Like I'm sorry, Mrs. Newman, but yeah.
I mean, I'm thinking back. I had George the Curious
Monkey, Curious George.
Curious George. I had a couple of Curious George books. I had a.
I always wondered why Curious George is running around without a diaper.
His parents just.
You mean the man in the yellow hat?
Oh, yeah, that dude.
And what was his deal? Why do you always have a yellow hat on?
I'm not familiar enough. I got to go back and revisit. I need to revisit that. But I also had... I actually found it on Amazon, a brand new copy, and I bought it. It was a record book, and I think it was like George something the Ghost. It was like my most favorite. It was like my most favorite childhood storybook. And I was able to find a new copy of it on Amazon with an MP3 of the record that went along with it. So I can't think of what it was called. And I don't want to stop the podcast to go over and look at it, but I have it over there on my shelf right now. Anyway, We've probably spent way too much time on this. Talking about other things.
Hey, that's what the show is for. Talk about what you want to talk about.
Yeah, there we go. So we talked about Texas opening up. The book burning continues. This is my topic. More woke wackiness. I don't know why I put this together today. These were just things that made me laugh. I don't necessarily feel like we need to go into deep discussion about them, but if you go to the show notes, you can see the screenshots. These are from Twitter.
Wait.
Or from other articles.
Now, I'm looking at this. It says more inclusive Washington football team ditches cheerleaders for co-ed dance squad.
Right.
And so when I see that, I'm like, okay, co-ed dance squad. I'm expecting to see, like, you know, a couple guys there as well, but I only see women. And so that made me think, are some of them trans?
Hey, I don't have the answer, but that's a really good question.
Yeah, and so and I see one of them, a couple of these women look a little mannish. And so, are you looking at it like I am right now?
I'm looking at it, but all of these chicks look pretty hot to me.
What about the one in the far right?
No, she looks pretty hot too, man.
Nah. Are you wearing your glasses?
I do have my glasses on, and I'm actually like 10 inches from the screen. So you think that she could possibly be a trap?
Well, I mean, this is a more inclusive, you know, dance, you know, the co-ed dance squad, and none of them are obviously male.
Maybe they're setting themselves up for future male cheerleaders a la college cheerleaders.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why nobody watches the college cheer squad anyway.
I found it funny. First of all, one of the funniest things is that this is the name that Washington decided to use for their football team.
Co-ed dance squad?
No, they literally, when you watch a Washington game, they literally, that's their name, Washington football team.
Wait.
It used to be the Washington Redskins, but literally, if you watch a Washington game nowadays, that's what it says on the screen in the chyron. It's Washington football team. That's the name of the team.
Yeah, they should have thought of a better name.
Something.
Yeah.
So ditching the cheerleaders for a co-ed dance squad, that's just icing on the cake. I don't know, man.
What's this next one?
This next one, Amazon redesigns its app logo after some said previous one resembled Hitler. So
yeah, I saw the story, and I remember I'm looking at the thing that we're looking at right now with the two brown squares, the blue thing across the top.
Does the one on the left remind you of Hitler?
Not at all.
Yeah, it's bizarre to me as well. I guess I can see Hitler had like a little.
He had the Hitler stash, but I wouldn't look at an Amazon package and see Adolf Hitler's face. That's just, you know.
Yeah, that, and I agree.
That person has other issues, like, you know, probably schizophrenia, or, you know, they're coming to get me. If you could look at that and be like, oh, it's Hitler.
They just have too much time on their hands and they want to complain about something. I agree. When I say Hitler, and if I look at it, and if I want to really stretch my imagination, sure, I guess I can see what they're talking about. But without that, just looking at that, I would have never.
Well, it's funny because I saw this like 2 days ago. Or maybe, yeah. I saw the first reference to it 2 days ago, and it wasn't until now that I'm like, okay, I see what they're talking about, but that's still a stretch.
Yeah, a stretch.
But you know what? It's not really related, but I'll have another opportunity to bring this up.
Okay.
You can go on.
Okay. So I'm not exactly sure who Amanda Gorman is.
All right.
From what little I know, I think she is a black. She writes poetry, maybe.
Is that her right there?
No. So the picture that we're looking at is the Dutch translator who was, I guess, hired to translate Amanda Gorman's works into Dutch.
Mm-hmm.
However, I guess this person, and I read the article, this person is a identifies as a non-gender binary.
Well, it says she.
It says she. So I guess it's a dude who identifies as, I don't know. Anyway, this person is part of the ABC mafia. Not the mafia, but the ABC community. But regardless, they got fired because they weren't black and they were hired to translate the words of Amanda Gorman, who is black. I don't
know. Well, no, see, when I see this, it makes me think there's got to be something more.
I can't argue with that. It seems bizarre to me. But
I'm sure there's something in her history where, you know, she's done X, Y, and Z. Or actually, dude, can we have a pause for a minute?
Yeah, you know what? This is a good time. Let's take a quick break.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Bowling Shoe Giver Outer.
Mr. Bowling Shoe Giver Outer.
Your tireless efforts keep our feet comfy and sanitized with mountain freshness.
Mountain freshness.
Instinctively, you match left shoe with right, carefully placing each pair in its own tiny shoe house.
Check the number on the back.
One wrong move, and we're on the fast train to Blisterville.
Oh, yeah.
Is he a 9.5 or a 10?
Oh, yeah.
You know. Why? Because you're Mr. Bowling Shoe Giver Outer.
We couldn't bowl without you.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, mister, and know it's no accident those shoes are red, white, and blue.
No, we couldn't bowl without
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah, I had one more of these woke wackiness stories to move on to. So.
Yeah, but on this story, I need to see more. I see the headline. I need to see more. There's got to be a why. There's got to be some rhyme or reason.
Yeah, I think you stated that before we cut. So
right, cool.
I'm going to count in, and then we'll move on to my final tweet here. If that's cool with you.
That works.
All right, man. And three, two. Okay, and we're back. And we have one more story of these woke wackiness stories to go through. And this is from one of my favorites, Alyssa Milano. Had so many. She may have been like one of the first chicks to awaken my, I don't know how to say this, my inner desires or whatever. Just when she was on, Who's the Boss?
Yeah.
Of course, she's since grown up to do other things. Sadly, no matter what she's done, I will always remember her for her great role in the movie Embrace of the Vampire. For those who have seen it will know what I'm talking about. If you haven't seen it, well, you can go rent it and watch it. But that's Alyssa Milano at her best.
I haven't seen it, but can you please describe the scene of Alyssa Milano at her best?
She's this innocent young girl who gets seduced by a lesbian, and they have a nice little naked lesbian scene.
Is it a lesbian vampire?
The lesbian scene is not a vampire, no. Right. There's another vampire in the movie, but I never really paid much attention to him. I seem to have this 5-minute section that I just kept replaying over and over. I don't know what that means.
It probably says
more about me than anything, but you know, there you go.
It says that you're a man.
So Melissa Milano, she's got this image of the stage that was set up at CPAC.
Now, I honestly don't know what they're talking about here. I see the collar and I see a stage.
So if you see the image, you see that emblem on the facing the left side collar, that image?
Yeah, I see that.
If you transpose that down to the stage and rotate it 45 degrees clockwise, you'll see that it kind of it lines up with the stage, right?
Okay. You know what? I did not see this. I mean, yeah, I've seen this image at least 2 or 3 times. Like, yeah, I don't see it. I don't get it.
Now you see it.
But now I see it, but I don't see the connection. So, you know, 50 years ago, this guy had a collar that was designed like that.
Well, that's my whole point. She's
probably 70 years ago.
She's trying to draw an equivalency between. This is what she says. This is a stage at CPAC. They're not even trying to hide it anymore. And so she's essentially implying that the stage, because it's shaped like this Nazi symbol on this dude's collar.
I don't know that to be a Nazi symbol.
Well, I'm guessing that this is a picture of a Nazi.
You know what?
Your reaction was my reaction. It's like, I have never in my life seen this symbol before.
Yeah.
When I think of a Nazi symbol, it's the
swastika.
Yeah, the swastika is what we all think of.
Yeah, the old faith, old true and faithful.
Yeah, I have. So when she says this, if I would have seen this, I would have never ever thought of this. Now, if I'm looking at this symbol on this collar, yeah, it's definitely that symbol, but my interpretation is that she's looking for something that's not there.
So. Yeah, I'm surprised we're talking about this collar and not the guy who stood on that stage and gave a speech last Sunday.
Who was that guy?
You know who?
I'm only guessing. Is it Trump?
Yes.
Okay. No, you know I don't watch that shit, man.
Oh. Yeah, well, fair enough. Yeah, I watched it.
Okay. Was there anything good in it?
Basically, Trump's greatest hits.
Okay. Well, I don't care what I've seen a lot of the aftermath, the talk afterwards, and I don't care. I still don't think he's not running for president in 2024.
He actually teased that he would.
I know, but this is not going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen.
I think I agree with you that the math just doesn't look like it works for him in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I agree. So that was all. I kind of just came up with this idea this morning, so that's why I only had 3 stories. I'm going to start paying more attention now, so hopefully next Thursday I'll have more than just 3 mediocre stories to talk about when it comes to wackiness. Because, I mean, I don't... I don't know, Joe. I mean, I don't know. I don't know where you're at, really. I don't. I'm pretty sure that you're solid and grounded in reality. And there's just a lot of crazy wokeness, craziness out there that just it just doesn't make sense anymore. And so those are kind of the things that I'm. Those are what I'm looking for when I'm looking for these woke wackiness things. It's just things that anyone who I want to say the word normal, but I mean, I guess just saying the word normal makes me abnormal.
No, but in reviewing the story, you got the more inclusive Washington football team, you know, I mean,
yeah, I didn't feel
about that.
Yeah,
except for the name Washington football team,
right,
and so, the possibility of one of those chicks being a tran.
I just don't see it, dude. And
they fool people.
If she's having a starring role in one of my dreams tonight, and then she whips out a big 10-inch cock, you and I are going to have words tomorrow, my man.
Oh yeah.
I'm just going to be sitting there waiting for you to log in because I'm going to take you to task for putting that in my head.
You did this to me, you.
Because without that, I think she looks pretty hot. But
well, no, sorry, we're talking about the one on the right.
Yeah, the far right, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The black chick with yeah. I don't see it, man. She's got a nice little tight stomach and. Respectable chest and
my little Adam's apple.
No, I don't see no Adam's apple, man. You're just fucking with me now, and I apologize, people. I am still on my I'm still reducing my cursing. I know that you wouldn't be able to tell, but let's move on to something more lighthearted, and that would be our skullduggery section.
Skullduggertastic.
I like it. And so we do. So before we get into it, I gotta say one of the things I used to like really dig was how Monk. I can't stop laughing. We were talking about this before the show, but how monkeys just seem to like take over and dominate India, or at least. Parts of India. I don't know. I remember I used to keep track of like I would come across stories about monkeys taking over like Indian ruins and things like that, and you know, stealing visitors' possessions and whatnot. All this kind of stuff.
So basically, monkeys behaving poorly.
Yeah, but this recently has I think this is taken has replaced that because this isn't the first. This is I don't know if we talked about this on the show or not, but Joe and I have definitely talked about this.
No, we didn't talk about it. It was a Thai police officer who was killed by a chicken that he was a rooster. They was I guess he was trying to take it to friggin' evidence. Oh. And it clawed him in the neck.
And yes, you're out. Right. Yeah. You're right. So, so this story, title: Indian Rooster. I'm sorry. Indian Rooster kills owner during cockfight. I'm sorry. I got these hiccups, man. Indian Rooster kills owner during cockfight. Thousands of roosters die each year in the battles, which, despite the efforts of animal rights groups, attract large crowds. A rooster fitted with a knife for an illegal cockfight in southern India has killed its owner, sparking a manhunt for the organizers of the event.
You know what? On some level, I think it's kind of a... justice that you know, for every you know 100 or so birds that you know a couple folks you know meet their maker as well.
I'm with you, man. I'm one of those guys that is like, when I see a video of like a bull in Spain,
mm-hmm.
you know, fucking up the bullfighter.
Yeah, good on him.
I'm like, yeah, I'm with the bull, man. I mean, I think that the attraction to the Spaniards to bullfighting is the life and death aspect of it, and so you know if a bullfighter isn't up to the task, and a bull gets the best of him, I think that's just
hey, all's fair.
All's fair, man.
All's fair in you know.
Now, I think it's sad. I'm quite sure that the bull probably gets killed regardless, but I think that, you know, if a bull, I just personally think that if a bull gets the better of the bullfighter, then that bull should be turned loose in a pasture and
we need more of them.
Let to live his years out however he wants in this pasture, man. But I don't know how it goes in Spain when a bull kills a bullfighter, but
you
one,
know what,
I know it happens rarely.
That made me think that if I could be like, you know, if I could die and be born and reincarnated as something else, I would want to be reincarnated as a horse who spent a lot of time of his life as a stud.
I knew that's where you was going, man.
Really? Am I that predictable? Apparently.
Well, you skipped. Well, no, but I think it's probably because we think alike. but my over analytical mind was like, well, if I was going to be reborn as a horse, well, first of all, I'd have to be like really good and win a bunch of races and X, Y, and Z. I mean, you just jump straight to the point where you're just the stag, just you know, passing your seat along to all these.
Yeah, who wants to do all that running? What's the fun in that?
That's funny, dude. Yeah. So anyway, Indian people, watch out for them fucking chickens, man. Don't give them knives, and especially don't tie the knives on to their little legs, because.
You know what? I think
they ain't fucking around, man.
If you're dumb enough to arm a chicken, you get all the bad things that come your way. You bought and paid for that.
Yeah, I mean, chicken is kind of a big part of Indian diets, right?
I don't know. I thought a lot of them were vegetarians.
Okay.
Well, we know cow isn't.
Yeah, no cows. I'm pretty sure they eat chickens.
I think a lot of folks are vegetarians.
Okay.
Yeah, that would not be fun.
Well,
being a vegetarian.
Whatever the case, people, keep sharp cutlery away from your chickens if you have them.
Well, yeah, maybe the thing should be like, if you have the urge to arm a farm animal.
You know, American farmers, we don't go out and give chainsaws or shotguns to our cows.
Yeah, it's like you know, every time you hear one of these guys getting killed, you're like, "Yep." Thankfully, this guy won't be shatting in the gene pool anymore.
Oh my god, dude! I can't stop laughing at the idea of giving shotguns to cows.
Hmm. How would you teach a cow to? I wonder how did this chicken learn how to use a knife, though.
That's a great thing. He improvised. I'm pretty sure they just taped it onto his leg.
Was it like a switchblade or like one of those things? One of the butterfly blades.
Ooh,
those are pretty intimidating.
I'm thinking. Since I'm thinking logically, the chicken's not going to be able to flip the switchblade, so it's going to have to be like I'm envisioning like a Rambo knife. They just taped to his arm, taped to his little legs.
Yeah, the last one had like a metal talon on his foot.
I mean, that's what they. I mean, that's what they do. I mean, that's cockfighting, is that they put like razor blade type weapons. They strap them onto their legs so that when they attack the other chicken, it does more damage. So they did, but that article didn't talk specifically about that. That article just talked about them, putting a knife.
You know, one thing I don't want to be reincarnated as. Cockfighting chicken.
Amen.
But I wouldn't.
This just said the bird had a knife attached to his leg. So either they are meaning literally a knife that you can, you can imagine what that might be that they attach to his leg, or they're just talking about, whatever roosters and cockfights usually. And I always thought that they were like these razor blade type talons that, like, you would see on a raptor in Jurassic Park or something.
Like that. What you would assume comes out of a velociraptor's hand.
Yeah, for sure. So, I don't know, but you know what? Anyway, that poor Indian dude, I guess, rest in peace, I suppose.
Yeah, R.I.P.
Yeah, R.I.P., man. So, I think we're at the end of the. I think we're at the end of the show, Joe.
We didn't talk about the murder hornets.
Oh shit! Yeah. The thing that for me has replaced Indian monkeys and Indian roosters is the murder hornets, man.
American murder hornets.
You have murder hornet news, as I understand.
Yes, we do.
Hit me, dude. Hit me.
I thought I sent it to you.
Because I love. Yeah, you did. You sent it to me.
There's a murder hornet documentary that from all apparent images looks as if it's more of a true crime drama or thing than actually a documentary. Let's see here. A moment.
I'm gonna track this down when we're done here, because I am going to watch this because I don't know why. I mean, I guess I do know why, but murder hornets is like my thing, man. So I just want to, if there's a documentary out there about murder hornets and it's actually about them murdering people, which I know that it's not.
But story. Let's see here. To be perfectly clear, insects aren't evil. They don't have morals or ethical guidelines. They can't even act.
Doesn't that make them the scariest, though? I mean, that's what you say about serial killers.
Yeah, it's just what they do.
Yeah, it's just something. They don't have morals or ethics. It's just what they do.
Yeah, they just want the blood. That's all.
Proceed, sir. Yeah. Proceed.
They cannot act with malice. They certainly cannot commit murder. That said, there's a reason why the giant Asian hornet is named the murder hornet in North America. Okay, let's see here. Gentle sweet bee. These apex predators look like they flew in from some Carboniferous era. They can massacre colonies of honeybees in hours, ripping the petite pollinators' torsos in half. Their venom causes searing pain in humans at best and death at worst. Damn. And when they were discovered in Washington State last spring, the invasion sounded like a downright demonic. It's fitting, then, that director Michael A. Stevenson's new film, Attack of the Murder Hornets, plays like a spooky true crime tale. Okay, so we know where it is. Paul Stevenson's Attack of the Murder Hornets.
I'm going to go to one of my go-to pirate sites.
It says it's currently streaming on Discovery. Opened with a spectacular. It opens with spectacular carnage. That should catch your attention, man. Carnage.
Oh my God, I got it. Attack of the Murder Hornets 2021.
Can you send me a link to that?
Well, I'll copy it. I'll download it, and then I'll send you, and then I'll put it where you can get to it.
Yeah, some gruesome, this sounds like it'll be good. One second there.
Oh, this is awesome, man. Here's the description that I have from this site. As the murder hornet makes national headlines, a small town crew of beekeepers and scientists band together to protect the quiet Washington community from the dangerous.
I can't hear you.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I kind of faded out there. This is a documentary. It's labeled as a documentary. It says, as the murder hornet makes national headlines, a small town crew of beekeepers and scientists band together to protect their quiet Washington community from the dangerous invasive species.
I mean, these guys are all going to end up victims.
Yeah.
Is that what the documentary about is about? How the murder hornets get every last one of these guys?
It doesn't say, but it's downloading at quite a clip. It's already 1/7 of the way downloaded, so I'll have it probably before we're even done with this show, and I'll upload it for you, man.
Yeah, that'd be awesome for us to be able to both watch that and comment on the And you'll be able to tell me if your esteem for murder hornets goes up or down afterwards.
What's crazy? It's under the genre of documentary, so I'm guessing that there's not going to be any real. I mean, I've not heard of any like real, murder hornets just wiping out a family or something like that. I know they might fuck up a honeybee community or something, but
well, I mean, it's not like maybe the murder hornets were starting with the honeybees, just getting to their stride, so to speak,
as practice.
Their warm up. Then they get down to how they earned their names.
Well, shit, I'm halfway. It's halfway downloaded, so yeah, we'll know soon enough, man. I got a feeling that I'm going to be watching this while I edit this show.
Good times.
That's awesome. Yeah, man. I'm glad you brought that to my attention because I hadn't heard about this. And you're right. I love the murder hornets, man. They're murderous.
Yeah, murder-tastic.
They're murder-tastic.
Is that all she wrote?
I think it is, my man. So, if you're still listening to us, and if you're on YouTube, like, subscribe, share. I got to get better at this, I know. But yeah, and if
yes,
you're still
Brian, you do need to get better. You need to get better.
I know, sir.
Yeah, this is the voice of disapproval. But that's not usually me.
No, usually you're very non-disapproval.
Is that a word? I'm usually pretty affirming.
You're pretty affirming, yeah.
Yeah, that's the word we'll use.
But for everybody out there, if you're still listening, thank you. We appreciate it. And you are cordially invited to join us right here in 7 days, and we're going to do it all over again. Joe?
Yes.
It's been a pleasure.
As always.
You and I will most definitely chat later. And take care.
What do you? You too. With open arms. She don't walk the floor. She don't count the teardrops. She don't pick up pieces from no broken heart. Oh, I wish I could call and say I'm sorry. There's nobody sitting by the phone. You know she meant it when she told me that she loved me. But Texas women don't